And this is now talking with, is it Joel, your first name?
Yes.
Joel Elder, is that the?
Elder,
On 14 August 1981 at the IRSI conference in Washington, D.C. Well, if you could tell me what your educational background was and how you first came into contact with radio astronomy.
Now, the background is in Chalmers, Tekniska Högskola,
right.
Sweden, and that was mostly electronic things I was studying. And during, for my examination work, I did a survey of the Milky Way on hydrogen line.
No.
And then that was a receiver that was built by Sverre Eng. I don't know if you know
him. No, I don't. How do you spell his last name?
Sverre
E-N-G.
E-N-G? He has worked in Hughes, and he is now a professor at Chalmers.
At Chalmers, yes.
So,
but now you say for your examination work, this is now for your postgraduate
yes,
work.
Yes, for what we call in Sweden Civilingenjörsexamen.
Which is for a PhD?
No, it's a master, corresponds to Bachelor of Master of Science.
Oh, to a bachelor's degree, I see, an undergraduate degree.
Yes.
So even as an undergraduate, you did some radio astronomy then?
Yes.
I see. And, okay, now tell me what it was.
It was a survey across the Milky Way, the hydrogen line, mm-hmm. where the strongest profiles were, together with rebuilding this receiver a little bit because it was a very it gave a lot of interference in the local oscillator side, so I had to shield things and tune things to get it to work.
Mm-hmm. And what antenna were you using?
It was a 7.5 meter parabolic antenna, and that was used by the Germans and
the
Norwegian, yes, the
Würzburg, yes.
The Norwegian coast before, so mm-hmm. Professor Rybak got some 3-4, or how many it was, we had. And then we improved the surface on one of them and for later measurements. Those first measurements were made with the original.
For the original surface?
Surface. Yeah.
So at 21 centimeters, that was a bit marginal.
Yes, really.
But you and what year are we talking about now?
It's around 58, I think.
58.
57, 58, mm-hmm. 59. On that
and region. Were you working with Höglund on
yes,
this?
Yes, and also Radhakrishna.
Radhakrishna was there? Oh, yes. Right.
The same project.
Mm-hmm.
He came, I don't remember which year it was, but...
It was about that time, yes.
I think so. He began making his world's best phase detectors and so on. he worked in electronics then. Who more? As I told you, Sverre Eng and... I don't remember any more names that would be.
Those are the only ones that I know about.
This.
Yeah.
That Tore Forhall has worked earlier with measurements on low, very low frequencies against Cygnus or something. They compared the measurements with radar, ionosphere radar. Kiruna in the north of Sweden.
Yes.
Because it so happened that the ray of the ray passed the ionosphere over Kiruna.
From Cygnus.
From Cygnus to Lower.
I see.
So they correlated this.
So it was an ionospheric study using Cygnus A.
Yes.
And this was.
This was before my time there.
Right.
So.
But this is Orhaug.
Yes, that's Orhaug.
O R H A U G.
Yes.
Right.
More. Yes, then I think Höglund extended the search later for the hydrogen line.
Did you ever publish that initial study that you did?
It was published probably only in an internal report. Challenge.
And what did you do after you got your bachelor's degree? You stayed on as a postgraduate?
Yes, I stayed on and worked with electronic equipment there, and also then we began to build this other telescope, the Kennedy dish.
Right. And when did that begin to be assembled?
Difficult to remember years. What year it was really?
Well, I have talked to the others.
Yes, you know, I think.
In any case, I have to check these dates.
Yes.
But you were working on receivers. I'd be interested in your comments on the status of receiver technology in the late 50s, early 60s.
They were very bulky receivers. We used, it was just when the transistor began.
Right.
But we used mostly big tubes and power-consuming and difficult to work with. So we had three big racks.
Yes.
Five big racks, and the three bottom parts of it was just power. Feed the power to the other three
right.
above there.
Now, you're talking about on the Würzburg now?
Yes.
Yes.
So, and that equipment was very difficult to tune.
And did you just have a coax line to the feed?
Yes. It was a coax line and an ordinary mixer with this 1 and 21 or whatever they call this diodes in the mixer. It's a difficult time, and it was a slow data handling. When you got the profile, you had to write it down slowly, the time constants of the order of half minute to 1 minute or something.
Right, and it was only single channel receiver, I suppose.
It took about trying to make a literature study.
I see.
What other people had done.
Because, of course, in subsequent years, the Chalmers group became a world leader in maser development,
yes.
But it was not that early.
No, it wasn't.
When did that begin, really? Only when the big dish came along?
Yes, I think that's right. Then we had masers at different spectral line frequencies.
How was it that masers did become a specialty? Were there other departments at Chalmers that were specializing in cryogenics
no,
and so
I,
forth?
I think it's because Professor Rudbeck, he saw the future and believed in this thing, in masers. So he pushed this research forward very hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's because of him.
Right.
What working.
And
then we had Siegfried Yngvesson and Erik Karlberg that guided this search forward very.
Right. Well. And the initial work that was done on the large Kennedy dish was 25 meter?
Yes.
Was concerned with spectral line work,
yes.
Most exclusively, wasn't it?
Mainly the OH line.
Right.
Beginning.
Which had just been recently.
And we also had little parametric amplifier. It was 2.3 gigahertz or something. It was on Mariner satellite or Mariner probe going
to Venus?
Yes, I think it was Venus. But we tried to see how we could detect the telemetry signals and so
I see.
On. So it's just for test purposes.
Mm-hmm. But before the large dish, what would you say were the main scientific contributions to radio astronomy from the Chalmers group?
I think the main contributions then were theoretical studies of different things by Professor Rydbeck and others.
Of electronic things, do you mean, or do you mean
astronomical? Yes, and ionospheric things.
Ionospheric stuff, which is not directly radio astronomy.
No, not the radio astronomy, it's just...
Yeah. So you don't really think radio astronomy got going in a world-class sense until the Big Dish came along?
No.
Even despite the fact there were these 21 centimeter observations.
Mm-hmm. But they were just, say, for testing of the receiver system, and they didn't contribute anything new
to
the radio astronomy.
Right, and there was no solar work going on
no
at that time?
Yes, solar work was going on somewhat. But that was before my time, nothing.
That had ended by...
That was ended then.
Mm-hmm. That ends the interview with Joel Elder on 14 August 1981.